head back to the compound. You're developing early. I'm what? I just stared up at him. Developing. The psychokinesis, Finn said, as if it should be obvious. Trill have varying degrees of ability. Yours are clearly more advanced.
They have abilities? I swallowed.
Do you have abilities?
Something new occurred to me, twisting my insides.
Can you read my mind?
No, I can't read minds.
Are you lying?
I won't lie to you,
Finn promised. If he hadn't been so attractive standing in front of me in my bedroom, it would have been easier to ignore him. And if I hadn't felt this ludicrous connection with him, I would have thrown him out right away. As it was hard to look into his eyes and not believe him. But after everything he had been saying, I couldn't believe him. If I believed him, that meant my mother was right. That I was evil and a monster. I had spent my whole life trying to prove her wrong, trying to be good and do the right things, and I wouldn't let this be true.
I can't believe you.
Wendy, Finn sounded exasperated. You know I'm not lying.
I do, I nodded. Not intentionally, anyway. But after what I went through with my mother, I'm not ready to let another crazy person into my life. So you have to go.
Wendy!
His expression was one of complete disbelief.
Did you really expect any other reaction from me?
I stood up, keeping my arms crossed firmly in front of me, and I tried to look as confident as I possibly could.
Did you think you could treat me like shit at a dance, then sneak into my room in the middle of the night and tell me that I'm a troll with magical powers, and I'd just be like, yeah, that sounds right? And what did you even hope to accomplish with this?
I asked him directly.
What were you trying to get me to do?
You're supposed to come with me back to the compound,
Finn said, defeated.
And you thought I would just follow you right out?
I smirked to hide the fact that I was really tempted to do that, even if he was insane.
They usually do,
Finn replied in a way that completely unnerved me.
Really? That answer was what completely lost me. I might have been willing to follow his delusions because I liked him more than I should, but when he made it sound like there had been lots of other girls willing to do the same thing before me, it really turned me off. Crazy, I could deal with. Slutty, not so much.
You need to go, I told him firmly.
You need to think about this. This is obviously different for you than it is for everyone else, and I understand that. So I'll give you time to think about it.
He turned and opened the window.
But there is a place where you belong. There is a place where you have family. So just think about it.
Definitely. I gave him a plastic smile. He started to lean out the window, and I walked closer to him so I'd be able to shut the window behind him. Then he stopped and turned to look at me. He felt dangerously close, his eyes full of something smoldering just below the surface. When he looked at me like that, he took all the air from my lungs, and I wondered if this was how Patrick felt when I persuaded him.
I almost forgot,
Finn said softly, his face so close to mine I could feel his breath on my cheeks.
You looked really beautiful tonight.
He stayed that way a moment longer, completely captivating me. Then he turned abruptly and climbed out the window. I stood there, barely remembering to breathe, as I watched him grab a branch of the tree next to my house and swing down to the ground. A cool breeze fluttered in, so I closed the window and pulled my curtains shut tightly. Feeling dazed, I staggered back to my bed and collapsed on it. I had never felt more bewildered in my entire life. I barely got any sleep. What little I had was filled with dreams of little green trolls coming to take me away. I lay in bed for a while after I woke up. Everything felt muddled and confusing. I couldn't let myself believe that anything Finn had said made sense. But I couldn't discount how badly I wanted it to be true. I had never felt like I belonged anywhere. Until recently, Matt had been the only person I ever felt any connection with. Lying in bed at 6:30 in the morning, I could hear the morning birds chirping loudly outside my window. Quietly, I got up and crept downstairs. I didn't want to wake Matt and Maggie this early. Matt got up early every school day to make sure I didn't oversleep and then drove me to school, so this was his only time to sleep in. For some reason, I felt desperate to find something to prove we were family. All my life, I'd been trying to prove the opposite, but as soon as Finn had mentioned that it might be a real possibility, I felt oddly protective. Matt and Maggie had sacrificed everything for me. I had never been that good to either of them, yet they still loved me unconditionally. Wasn't that evidence enough? I crouched on the floor next to one of the cardboard boxes in the living room. The word memorabilia was scrawled across it in Maggie's pretty cursive. Underneath Matt's and Maggie's diplomas and lots of Matt's graduation pictures, I found several photo albums. Based on the covers, I could tell which ones had been Maggie's purchases. Maggie picked albums covered in flowers and polka dots and happy things. My mother only had one, and it was adorned with a faded brown nondescript cover. There was also a damaged blue baby book. Carefully, I pulled it out, along with my mom's photo album. My baby book had been blue because all the ultrasounds had said I was a boy. Tucked in the back of the book, there was even a cracked ultrasound photo where the doctor had circled what they had incorrectly assumed was my penis. Most families would have made some kind of joke about that, but not mine. My mother had just looked at me with disdain and said, "You were supposed to be a boy." Most mothers start out filling the beginning of a baby book, but then forget as time goes on. Not mine. She'd never written a thing in it. The handwriting was either my father's or Maggie's. My footprints were in there, along with my measurements and a copy of my birth certificate. I touched it delicately, proving that my birth was real and tangible. I had been born into this family, whether my mother liked it or not. "What are you doing, kiddo?" Maggie asked softly from behind me, and I jumped a little. "Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you." Wrapped in her housecoat, Maggie yawned and ran a hand through her sleep-disheveled hair. "It's okay." I tried to cover up my baby book, feeling as if I'd been caught doing something naughty. "What are you doing up?" "I could ask you the same thing," Maggie replied with a smile. She sat down on the floor next to me, leaning against the back of the couch. "I heard you get up." She nodded at the pile of photo albums on my lap. "You feeling nostalgic?"
"I don't know, really."
"What are you looking at?" Maggie leaned over so she could peer at the photo album.
"Oh, that's an old one. You were just a baby then."
I flipped open the book and it went chronologically, so the first few pages were of Matt when he was little. Maggie looked at it with me, making clucking sounds at my dad. She gently touched his picture once and commented on how handsome her brother was. Even though everyone agreed that my father had been a good guy, we rarely talked about him. It was our way of not talking about my mother and not talking about what had happened. Nothing before my 6th birthday mattered, and that just happened to include every memory of Dad. Most of the pictures in the album were of Matt, and there were many with my mother, my dad, and Matt looking ridiculously happy. All three of them had blonde hair and blue eyes. They looked like something out of a Hallmark commercial. Toward the end of the book, everything changed. As soon as pictures of me started to appear, my mother began looking surly and sullen. In the very first picture, I was only a few days old. I wore an outfit with blue trains all over it, and my mother glared at me.
"You were such a cute baby," Maggie laughed.
"But I remember that. You wore boys' clothes for the first month because they were so sure you were going to be a boy."
"That explains a lot," I mumbled, and Maggie laughed.
why didn't they just get me new clothes? They had the money for it.
Oh, I don't know, Maggie sighed, looking far away. It was something your mother wanted. She shook her head. She was weird about things. What was my name supposed to be? Maggie snapped her fingers when she remembered.
Michael. Michael Conrad Everly. But then you were a girl, so that ruined that.
How did they get Wendy from that? I wrinkled my nose. Michelle would make more sense.
Well, Maggie looked up at the ceiling, thinking.
Your mother refused to name you, and your father, I guess he couldn't think of anything. So Matt named you.
Oh, yeah.
I faintly remembered hearing that before.
But why Wendy?
He liked the name Wendy. Maggie shrugged. He was a big Peter Pan fan, which is ironic because Peter Pan is the story of a boy who never grows up, and Matt was a boy who was always grown up.
I smirked at that.
Maybe that's why he's always been so protective of you.
He named you. You were his.
My eyes settled on a picture of me from when I was about 2 or 3, with Matt holding me in his arms. I lay on my stomach with my arms and legs outstretched, while he grinned like a fool. He used to run me around the house like that, pretending that I was flying, and call me Wendy Bird, and I would laugh. As I got older, it became more and more apparent that I looked nothing like my family. My dark eyes and frizzy hair contrasted completely with theirs. In every picture with me, my mother looked utterly exasperated, as if she had spent the half hour before the picture was taken fighting with me. But then again, she probably had. I had always been contrary to everything she was.
You were a strong-willed child, Maggie admitted, looking at a picture of me covered in chocolate cake at my 5th birthday.
You wanted things the way you wanted them. And when you were a baby, you were colicky. But you were always an adorable child, and you were bright and funny. Maggie gently pushed a stray curl back from my face.
You were always worthy of love. You did nothing wrong, Wendy. She was the one with the problem, not you.
I nodded.
I know.
But for the first time, I truly believed that this all might be entirely my fault. If Finn was telling the truth, as these pictures seem to confirm, I wasn't their child. I wasn't even human. I was exactly what my mother had accused me of being. She was just more intuitive than everybody else.
What's wrong? Maggie asked, looking concerned. What's going on with you?
Nothing, I lied and closed the photo album.
Did something happen last night?
Her eyes were filled with love and worry, and it was hard to think of her as not being my family.
Did you even sleep?
Yeah, I just woke up, I guess, I answered vaguely.
What happened at the dance?
Maggie leaned back against the couch, resting her hand on her chin as she studied me.
Did something happen with a boy?
Things just didn't turn out the way I thought they would, I said honestly. In fact, they couldn't have turned out more different.
Was that Finn boy mean to you?
Maggie asked with a protective edge to her voice.
No, no, nothing like that, I assured her. He was great, but he's just a friend.
Oh. Understanding flashed in her eyes, and I realized she'd probably gotten the wrong idea, but at least it kept her from asking more questions.
Being a teenager is hard, no matter what family you come from.
You're telling me, I muttered. I heard Matt getting up and moving around upstairs. Maggie shot me a nervous look, so I hurried to pack up the photo albums. He wouldn't exactly be mad at me for looking at them, but he definitely wouldn't be happy either. And first thing in the morning, I did not want to deal with a fight with my brother, on top of worrying about whether or not he was really even my brother.
You know you can talk to me about this stuff whenever you want,
Maggie whispered as I slipped the albums back in the cardboard box.
Well,
At least whenever Matt isn't around.
I know. I smiled at her.
I suppose I should make you breakfast.
Maggie stood up and stretched, then looked down at me. How about plain oatmeal with fresh strawberries? Those are things you eat, right?
Yeah, that sounds great.
I nodded. But something about her question pained me. There were so many things I wouldn't eat, and I was constantly hungry. It had always been a struggle just to feed me. When I was a baby, I wouldn't even drink breast milk, which only added more fuel to the idea that I wasn't my mother's child. Maggie had turned to walk into the kitchen, but I called after her.
Hey, Mags. Thanks for everything. Like, making me food and stuff.
Yeah? Maggie looked surprised and smiled.
No problem.
Matt came downstairs a minute later, deeply confused by the fact that both Maggie and I were up before him. We ate breakfast together for the first time in years, and Maggie was overly happy, thanks to my small compliment. I was subdued, but I managed to play it off as something resembling happiness. I didn't know if they were my real family or not. There were so many signs pointing to the contrary. But they had raised me and stood by me the way no one else had. Even my supposed mother had failed me. But not Matt or Maggie. They were unfailing in their love for me, and most of the time they had gotten next to nothing in return. Maybe that last part was the proof that my mother was right. They only gave, and I only took. Chapter 4 Changeling. The weekend was turbulent. I kept expecting Finn to appear at my window again, but he didn't, and I wasn't sure if that was good or bad. I wanted to talk to him, but I was terrified. Terrified he might be lying, and terrified he might be telling the truth. I kept looking for clues in everything. Like, Matt is pretty short, and so am I, so he must be my brother. Then, a minute later, he would say he prefers winter to summer, and I hate winter, so he must not be my brother. These weren't clues one way or another, and deep down I knew that. My whole life was now one giant question, and I was desperate for answers. There was also that burning, unanswered question about what exactly Finn wanted with me. Sometimes he treated me like I was nothing more than an irritant. Then there were other times when he looked at me and took my breath away. I hoped that school would bring some kind of resolution to all of this. When I got up Monday morning, I took extra care to look nice, but I tried to pretend it wasn't for any particular reason. That it wasn't because this was the first time I'd see Finn since he had come into my room, and that I still wanted to talk to him. I still wanted to impress him. When the first period bell rang and Finn still hadn't taken his place a few rows behind me, a knot started growing in my stomach. I looked around for him all day, half expecting him to be lurking around some corner. He never was, though. I barely paid attention to anything all day in school, and I felt incredibly defeated when I walked to Matt's car. I had expected to gain some knowledge today, but in the end, I was left with even more questions. Matt noticed my surly demeanor and tried to ask about it, but I just shrugged him off. He had been growing increasingly concerned since I had come home from the dance, but I had been unable to put his mind at ease. I already felt the sting of Finn's absence. Why hadn't I gone with him? I was more attracted to him than I had ever been to anyone, and it was more than just physical. In general, people didn't interest me, but he did. He promised me a life where I fit in, where I was special, and, maybe most important, a life with him. Why was I staying here? Because I still wasn't convinced that I was evil. I wasn't ready to give up on the good I had worked so hard for in my life. I knew of one person who had always seen through my facade and known exactly what I was. She'd be able to tell me if I had any good in me, or if I should just give in, give up, and run off with Finn.
Hey, Matt?
I stared down at my hands. Are you busy this afternoon?
I don't think so.
Matt answered tentatively as he turned on the block toward our house.
Why? What's on your mind?
I was thinking I'd like to go visit my mother.
Absolutely not.
Matt cast me a livid glare.
Why would you even want that? That's so completely out of the question. No way, Wendy. That's just obscene.
He turned to look at me again, and in that moment, staring directly into his eyes, I repeated the same thoughts over and over. I want to see my mother. Take me to see her, please. I want to see her. His expression was hard, but eventually it started to soften around the edges.
I'll take you to see our mother.
Matt sounded like he was talking in his sleep. I instantly felt guilty for what I was doing. It was manipulative and cruel. But I wasn't just doing it to see if I could. I needed to see my mother, and this was the only way I could do that. I felt nervous and sick, and I knew Matt would be irate once he realized what he was doing. I didn't know how long this persuasion would last. We might not even make it to the hospital where my mother lived, but I had to try. It would be the first time I'd see my mother in over 11 years. There were several times throughout the long car ride when Matt seemed to become aware that he was doing something he would never normally do. He would start ranting about how terrible my mother was and that he couldn't believe he'd let me talk him into this. Somehow it never occurred to him to turn around. But maybe it couldn't occur to him.
She's a horrible person,
Matt said as we approached the state hospital. I could see the internal battle waging underneath his grimace and tortured blue eyes. His hand was locked on the steering wheel, but something about the way he gripped it looked like he was trying to let go, but couldn't. Guilt flushed over me again, but I tried to push it away. I didn't want to hurt him, and controlling him like this was reprehensible. The only real comfort I had was that I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wanted to see my mother, and I had every right to. Matt was just being overzealous about his protective duties once again. She can't do anything to hurt me, I reminded him for the 100th time. She's locked up and medicated. I'll be fine.
It's not like she's going to strangle you or anything,
Matt allowed, but there was an edge to his voice hinting that he hadn't completely ruled out the possibility.
She's just a bad person. I don't know what you hope to gain from seeing her.
I just need to, I said softly and looked out the window. I had never been to the hospital, but it wasn't exactly as I'd imagined. My entire basis for it was Arkham Asylum, so I had always pictured an imposing brick structure with lightning perpetually flashing just behind it. It was raining lightly and the skies were overcast as we pulled up, but that was the only thing similar to the psychiatric hospital of my fantasies. Nestled in thick pine forest and rolling grassy hills, it was a sprawling white building that looked more like a resort than a hospital. After my mother had tried to kill me and Matt tackled her in the kitchen, someone had called 911. She was hauled off in a police car, still screaming things about me being monstrous, while I was taken away in an ambulance. Charges were brought against my mother, but she pleaded guilty by reason of insanity, and the case never went to trial. They had originally given her a cross-diagnosis of latent postpartum depression and temporary psychosis brought on by the death of my father. With medication and therapy, there had been a general expectation that she would be out in a relatively short amount of time. Cut to 11 years later when my brother is talking to the security guard so we can get clearance to get inside the hospital. From what I understood, she refused to admit any remorse for what she'd done. Matt went to visit her once 5 years ago, and what I got out of it was that she didn't know she'd done anything wrong. It was inferred, though never actually spelled out, that if she got out, she'd do it again. There was a great deal of bustling about once we finally got inside. A nurse had to call a psychiatrist to see if I would even be able to see her. Matt paced anxiously around me, muttering things about everyone being insane. We waited in a small room filled with plastic chairs and magazines for 45 minutes until the doctor came to meet with me. We had a brief conversation in which I told him that I only wished to speak with her, and even without persuasion, he seemed to think it might be beneficial for me to have some closure. Matt wanted to go back with me to see her, afraid that she would damage me in some way. But the doctor assured him that orderlies would be present, and my mother hadn't had a violent outburst in 11 years. Matt eventually relented, much to my relief, because I had just been about to use persuasion on him again. He couldn't be there when I talked to her. I wanted an honest conversation. A nurse led me to an activity room. A couch and a few chairs filled the room, along with a few small tables, some with half-completed puzzles on them. On one wall, a cabinet overflowed with beat-up games and battered puzzle boxes. Plants lined the windows, but otherwise it was devoid of life. The nurse told me that my mother would be there soon, so I sat down at one of the tables and waited. A very large, very strong-looking orderly brought her into the room. I stood up when she came in, as some kind of misplaced show of respect. She was older than I had expected her to be. In my mind, she had stayed frozen the way I'd seen her last. But she had to be in her mid-40s by now. Her blonde hair had turned into a frizzy mess thanks to the years of neglect, and she had it pulled back in a short ponytail. She was thin, the way she had always been, in a beautifully elegant borderline anorexic way. A massive blue bathrobe hung on her, frayed and worn, the sleeves draping down over her hands. Her skin was pale porcelain, and even without any makeup, she was stunningly beautiful. More than that, she carried this regality with her. It was clear that she had come for money, that she had spent her life on top, ruling her school, her social circles, even her family. "They said you were here, but I didn't believe them," said my mother with a wry smirk. She stood a few steps away from me, and I wasn't sure what to do. The way she looked at me was the same way people might inspect a particularly heinous-looking bug just before they squashed it under their shoe. "Hi, Mom," I offered meekly, unable to think of anything better to say. "Kim," she corrected me coldly. "My name is Kim. Cut the pretense. I'm not your mother, and we both know it." She gestured vaguely to the chair I had pushed out behind me and walked over to the table. "Sit. Take a seat." "Thanks," I mumbled, sitting down. She sat down across from me, crossing her legs and leaning back in her chair like I was contagious and she didn't want to get sick. "That's what this is about, isn't it?" She waved her hand in front of her face, then laid it delicately on the table. Her nails were long and perfect, recently painted with clear polish. "You finally figured it out. Or have you always known? I never could tell."
"No, I never knew," I said quietly. "I still don't know."
"Look at you. You're not my daughter." My mother gave me a contentious look and clicked her tongue. "You don't know how to dress or walk or even speak. You mutilate your nails." She pointed a manicured fingertip at my chewed-down nails. "And that hair!"
"Your hair isn't any better,"
I countered. My dark curls had been pulled up in their usual bun, but I had actually tried styling my hair this morning when I was getting ready. I thought it looked pretty good, but apparently I was wrong.
"Well," she smiled humorlessly, "I have limited resources."
She looked away for a moment, then turned back to rest her icy gaze on me.
"But what about you? You must have all the styling products in the world. Between Matthew and Maggie, I'm sure you're spoiled rotten."
"I get by," I allowed sourly. She made it sound like I should feel ashamed for the things I had, like I had stolen them. Although, I suppose in her mind, I kinda had.
"Who brought you here anyway?"
Clearly, the idea had just occurred to her, and she glanced behind her as if she expected to see Matt or Maggie waiting in the wings. "Matt," I answered.
"Matthew?"
She looked genuinely shocked.
"There is no way he would condone this. He doesn't even..."
Sadness washed across her face, and she shook her head.
"He's never understood. I did what I did to protect him, too. I never wanted you to get your claws into him."
She touched her hair, and tears welled in her eyes, but she blinked them back, and her stony expression returned. "He thinks he has to protect me," I informed her, mostly because I knew it would bother her. Disappointingly, she didn't look that upset. She just nodded in understanding.
"For all his sense and maturity, Matthew can be incredibly naive. He always thought of you as some lost, sick puppy he needed to care for."
She brushed a frizzy strand of hair from her forehead and stared at a spot on the floor.
"He loves you because he's a good man, like his father. And that has always been his weakness."
Then she looked up, hopefully.
"Is he going to visit me today?"
"No." I almost felt bad about telling her that, but she smiled bitterly at me, and I remembered why she was here.
"You've turned him against me. I knew you would."
"But," she shrugged emptily, "it doesn't make things easier, does it?"
"I don't know."
I leaned in toward her. "Look, Kim, I am here for a reason. I want to know what I am." I backtracked quickly. "I mean, what you think I am."
"You're a changeling," she said matter-of-factly. "I'm surprised you didn't know that by now."
My heart dropped, but I tried to keep my expression neutral. I pressed my hands flat on the table to keep them from shaking. It was just as I had suspected, and maybe I had always known. When Finn told me, it had instantly made sense. But I don't know why hearing it from Kim made things feel so different.
"How could you possibly know that?" I asked. "I knew you weren't mine the second the doctor placed you in my arms."
She twisted at her hair and looked away from me.
"My husband refused to listen to me. I kept telling him that you weren't ours. But he..."
She swallowed, pained at the memory of the man she'd loved.
"It wasn't until I was in here, when I had all the time in the world, that I found out what you really were."
She went on, her eyes hardening and her voice strengthening with conviction.
"I read book after book searching for an explanation for you. In an old book on fairy tales, I found out what kind of parasite you truly are. A changeling."
"A changeling?" I fought to keep my voice even. "What does that mean?"
"What do you think it means?" she snapped, looking at me like I was an idiot. "Changeling! You were changed out for another child. My son was taken, and you were put in his place."
Her cheeks reddened with rage, and the orderly took a step closer to her. She held up her hand and fought to keep herself contained.
"Why?"
I asked, realizing that I should have asked Finn this question days earlier.
"Why would anyone do that? Why would they take your baby? What did they do with him?"
"I don't know what kind of game you're playing."
She smiled sadly, and fresh tears stood in her eyes. Her hands trembled when she touched her hair, and she all but refused to look at me.
"You know what you did with him. You know far better than I do."
"No, I don't."
The orderly gave me a hard look, and I knew I had to at least look like I wasn't freaking out. In a hushed voice, I demanded,
"What are you talking about?" "You killed him, Wendy,"
my mother snarled. She leaned in toward me, her hand clenched into a fist, and I knew she was using all her willpower to keep from hurting me. First, you killed my son. Then you drove my husband insane and killed him. You killed them both. Mom, Kim, whatever. I closed my eyes and rubbed my temples. That doesn't make any sense. I was just a baby. How could I kill anyone? How did you get Matthew to drive you here? She demanded through gritted teeth, and an icy chill ran down my spine. He would never drive you here. He would never let you see me. But he did. What did you do to him to make him do it? I lowered my eyes, unable to even pretend to be innocent. Maybe that's exactly what you did to Michael. Her fists were clenched, and she breathed so hard her delicate nostrils flared. I was just a baby, I insisted without any real conviction. I couldn't have... Even if I did, there had to be more people involved. It doesn't explain anything. Why would anybody take him or hurt him and put me in his place? She ignored my question. You were always evil. I knew it from the moment I held you in my arms. She had calmed herself a bit and leaned back in her chair. It was in your eyes. They weren't human. They weren't kind or good. Then why didn't you just kill me then? I asked, growing irritated. You were a baby. Her hands shook, and her lips had started to quiver. She was losing the confidence she had come in with. Well, I thought you were. You know, I couldn't be sure. She pressed her lips together tightly, trying to hold back tears. What made you so sure? I asked. What made you decide that day? On my 6th birthday? Why that day? What happened? You weren't mine. I knew you weren't. She brushed at her eyes to keep the tears from spilling over. I had known forever. But I just kept thinking about what the day should have been like. With my husband and my son. Michael should have been 6 that day, not you. You were a horrible, horrible child. And you were alive. And they were dead. I just... It didn't seem right anymore. She took a deep breath and shook her head. It still isn't right. I was 6 years old. My voice had started quavering. Whenever I'd thought of her or what happened, I'd only ever felt numb. For the first time, I really felt hurt and betrayed. 6 years old. Do you understand that? I was a little kid, and you were supposed to be my mother. Whether she really was or not was irrelevant. I was a child, and she was in charge of raising me. I had never done anything to anyone. I never even met Michael. You're lying, my mother gritted her teeth. You were always a liar and a monster. And I know you're doing things to Matthew. Just leave him alone. He's a good boy. She reached across the table and grabbed my wrist painfully. The orderly came up behind her. Take what you want. Take anything. Just leave Matthew alone. Kimberly, come on. The orderly put his strong hand on her arm and she tried to pull away from him. Kimberly, leave him alone, she shouted again, and the orderly started pulling her up. She fought against him, screaming at me. Do you hear me, Wendy? I will get out of here someday, and if you've hurt that boy, I will finish the job I started. That's enough, the orderly bellowed, dragging her out of the room. You're not human, Wendy, and I know it. That was the last thing she yelled before he carried her out of my sight. The staff let me sit there for a minute, trying to catch my breath and get myself under control. Matt couldn't see me like this. I really, really thought I was going to throw up, but I managed to keep it down. Everything was true. I was a changeling, I wasn't human. She wasn't my mother. She was just Kim, a woman who had lost her grasp on reality when she realized I wasn't her child. I had been switched for her son, Michael, and I had no idea what happened to him. Maybe he was dead. Maybe I really had killed him, or someone else had. Maybe someone like Finn. She was convinced that I was a monster, and I couldn't argue that I wasn't. In my life, I had caused nothing but pain. I had ruined Matt's life, and I still was doing that. Not only did he constantly have to uproot himself for me and spend every minute worrying about me, but I was manipulating and controlling him, and I couldn't say for sure how long that had been going on. I didn't know the long-term effects of it either. Maybe it would have been better if she had killed me when I was 6. Or better yet, when I was still a baby. Then I wouldn't have been able to hurt anybody. When the staff finally led me back to the waiting room, Matt rushed over to hug me. I stood there, but I didn't hug him back. He inspected me to make sure I was all right. He had heard there was some kind of scuffle and was petrified that something had happened to me. I just nodded and got out of there as fast as I could. Chapter 5. Insanity.
So?
Matt began on the drive home. I rested my forehead against the cold glass of the car window and refused to look at him. I had barely spoken since we'd left.
What did you say to her?
Things, I replied vaguely.
No, really, he pressed. What happened?
I tried talking to her. She got upset. I sighed. She said I was a monster. You know, the usual.
I don't know why you even wanted to see her. She's a terrible person.
Oh, she's not that bad. My breath fogged up the window, and I started drawing stars in the mist. She's really worried about you. She's afraid I'm going to hurt you.
That woman is insane, Matt scoffed. Literally, since she lives there, but you can't listen to her, Wendy. You aren't letting anything she said get to you, are you?
No, I lied. Pulling my sleeve up over my head, I erased my drawings on the window and sat up straighter. How do you know?
What?
That she's insane. That I'm not a monster. I twisted my thumb ring nervously and stared at Matt, who just shook his head. I'm being serious. What if I am bad? Matt suddenly put on his turn signal and pulled the car over to the shoulder. Rain pounded down on the windows as other cars sped by us on the freeway. He turned to face me completely, putting an arm across the back of my seat.
Wendy Luella Everly, there is nothing bad about you. Nothing,
Matt emphasized solemnly.
That woman is completely insane. I don't know why, but she was never a mother to you. You can't listen to her. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Be serious, Matt, I shook my head. I've gotten expelled from every school I've ever gone to. I'm unruly and whiny and stubborn and so picky. I know that you and Maggie struggle with me all the time.
That doesn't mean you're bad. You've had a really traumatic childhood, and yeah, you're still working through some things. But you are not bad,
Matt insisted.
You are a strong-willed teenager who isn't afraid of anything. That's all.
At some point, that has to stop being an excuse. Sure, she tried to kill me, but I have to take responsibility for who I am as a person.
You are, Matt said with a smile. Since we've moved here, you have shown so much promise. Your grades are going up, and you're making friends. And even if that makes me a little uncomfortable, I know it's a good thing for you. You're growing up, Wendy, and you're going to be okay.
I nodded, unable to think of an argument for that.
I know I don't say it enough, but I'm proud of you, and I love you.
Matt bent over so he could kiss the top of my head. He hadn't done that since I was little, and it stirred something inside me. I closed my eyes and refused to cry. He straightened back up in his seat and looked at me seriously.
Okay? Are you okay now?
Yeah, I'm fine. I forced a smile.
Good.
He pulled back into traffic, continuing the drive home. As much as I inconvenienced Matt and Maggie, it would break their hearts if I left. Even if going with Finn would be more promising, it would hurt them too much. Leaving would put my needs in front of theirs. So if I stayed, I put them before me. Staying would be my only proof that I wasn't evil. When we got home, I went up to my room before Maggie could try to talk to me. My room felt too quiet, so I went over to my iPod and started scrolling through songs. A light tapping sound startled me from my search, and my heart skipped a beat. I walked over to my window, and when I pulled back the curtain, the rain had stopped, and there was Finn, crouched on the roof outside. I considered closing the curtain and ignoring him, but his dark eyes were too much. Besides, this would give me a chance to say a proper goodbye.
What are you doing?
Finn asked as soon as I opened the window. He stayed out on the roof, but I hadn't moved back so he could come in. What are you doing? I countered, crossing my arms.
I came to make sure you're all right,
he said, concern in his eyes. Why wouldn't I be all right? I asked.
It was just a feeling I had.
He avoided my gaze, glancing behind him at a man walking his dog on the sidewalk before turning back to me.
Mind if I come in so we can finish this conversation?
Whatever. I took a step back and tried to seem as indifferent as possible. But when he slid through the window past me, my heartbeat sped up. He stood in front of me, his dark eyes burning into mine, and he made the rest of the world disappear. I shook my head and stepped away from him, so I wouldn't let myself get mesmerized by him anymore. Why did you come in the window? I asked.
I couldn't very well come to the door. That guy would never let me in here to see you.
Finn was probably right. Matt had hated him ever since the dance. That guy is my brother, and his name is Matt. I felt incredibly defensive and protective of him, especially after the way he supported me after we saw Kim.
He's not your brother. You need to stop thinking of him like that.
Finn cast a disparaging look around my room.
Is that what this is all about? This is why you won't leave?
You couldn't possibly understand my reasons. I went over and sat on my bed, making a point of laying physical claim to this space.
What happened tonight?
Finn asked, ignoring my attempts at defiance. How are you so certain something happened?
You were gone,
he said, without any fear that I might find it disturbing that he knew about my comings and goings. I saw my mother, the woman who is supposed to be my mother. I shook my head, hating the way this all sounded. I considered lying to him, but he already knew more about all of this than anyone. What do you call her? Is there a name for her?
Usually her name will suffice,
Finn replied. And I felt like an idiot. Yeah, of course. I took a deep breath. Anyway, I went and saw Kim. I looked up at him. Do you know about her? I mean, how much do you really know about me?
Honestly, not that much.
Finn seemed to disapprove of his own lack of knowledge.
You were incredibly elusive. It was rather disconcerting.
So you don't, I realized with dismay that I was on the verge of tears. She knew I wasn't her daughter. When I was 6, she tried to kill me. She had always told me that I was a monster, that I was evil. And I guess I had always believed her.
You're not evil,
Finn insisted earnestly. And I smiled thinly at him, swallowing back my sadness.
You can't possibly stay here, Wendy.
It's not like that anymore. I shook my head, looking away from him. She doesn't live here, and my brother and my aunt would do anything for me.
I can't just leave them. I won't.
Finn eyed me carefully, trying to decide if I was serious. I hated how attractive he was and whatever power it was he held over me. Even now, with my life in complete shambles, the way he looked at me made it hard to focus on anything besides my racing heart.
Do you realize what you're giving up?
Finn asked softly.
There is so much that life has to offer you, more than anything they can give you here. If Matt understood what was in store for you, he would send you with me himself.
You're right. He would, if he thought it was what's best for me, I admitted. Which is why I have to stay.
Well, I want what's best for you, too. That's why I found you, and why I've been trying to bring you home.
The underlying affection in his voice shivered through me.
Do you really believe I would encourage you to return home if it would adversely affect you?
I don't think you know what's best for me, I replied as evenly as I could. He had thrown me off guard by hinting at caring about me, and I had to remind myself that that was part of his job. All of this was. He needed to make sure I was safe and convince me to return home. That wasn't the same as actually caring about me.
You're sure this is what you want? Finn asked gently.
Absolutely. But I sounded more confident than I really was.
I'd like to say that I understand, but I don't.
Finn sighed resignedly.
I can say that I'm disappointed.
I'm sorry, I said meekly.
You shouldn't be sorry.
He ran a hand through his black hair and looked at me again.
I won't be going to school anymore. It seems unnecessary, and I don't want to disturb your studies. You should at least get an education.
What? Don't you need one? My heart dropped to the pit of my stomach as I realized that this might be the last time I saw Finn.
Wendy.
Finn gave a small, humorless laugh.
I thought you knew. I'm 20 years old. I'm done with my education.
Why were you? I said, already figuring out the answer to my question.
I was only there to keep track of you, and I have.
Finn dropped his eyes and sighed.
When you change your mind, he hesitated for a moment, I'll find you.
You're leaving? I asked, trying to keep the disappointment from my voice.
You're still here, so I am too. At least for a while,
Finn explained. How long?
It depends on things.
Finn shook his head.
Everything about your situation is so different. It's hard to say anything with certainty.
You keep saying that I'm different. What does that mean? What are you talking about?
We usually wait until changelings are a few years older, and by then you've already figured out that you're not human,
Finn explained.
When the tracker comes to find you, you're relieved and eager to go.
So why did you come for me now? I asked.
You moved so much.
Finn gestured to the house.
We were afraid that something might be the matter. So I was here monitoring you until you were ready, and I thought you might be.
He exhaled deeply.
I guess I was wrong.
Can't you just persuade me to go along? I asked, and some part of me that wanted to go with him hoped he could.
I can't.
Finn shook his head.
I can't force you to come with me. If this is your decision, then I'll have to respect it.
I nodded, knowing full well that I was turning down any chance of getting to know my real parents, my family history, and spending more time with Finn. Not to mention my abilities, like persuasion, which Finn had promised there would be more of as I got older. On my own, I'm sure I'd never be able to master or understand them. We looked at each other, and I wished he wasn't so far away from me. I was wondering if it would be appropriate if we hugged when the door to my bedroom opened. Matt had come in to check on me. As soon as he saw Finn, his eyes burned. Quickly, I jumped up, moving in front of Finn to block any attempts by Matt to kill him.
Matt, it's okay,
I held up my hands.
It is not okay,
Matt growled.
Who the hell is this?
Matt, please. I put my hands on his chest, trying to push him away from Finn, but it was like trying to push a brick wall. I glanced back at Finn, and he just stared blankly at my brother.
You have some nerve,
Matt reached over my shoulder, pointing at Finn as he yelled.
She is 17 years old. I don't know what the hell you think you're doing in her room, but you're never doing anything with her again.
Matt, please stop, I begged. He was just saying goodbye. Please.
Perhaps you should listen to her,
Finn offered calmly. I knew his composure must be pissing off Matt even more. Matt's day had been horrible too, and the last thing he needed was some kid in here defiling me. Finn's only reaction was to stand there, cool and collected, and Matt would want him too scared to ever come near me again. Matt actually knocked me out of the way, and I fell backward onto the floor. Finn's eyes flashed darkly at that, and when Matt pushed him, Finn didn't move an inch. He just glared down at my brother, and I knew that if they fought, Matt would be the one with a serious injury. Matt! I jumped to my feet. Already, I had started chanting, Leave my room! Leave my room! You need to calm down and get out of my room! Please! I wasn't sure how effective it was without eye contact, so I grabbed his arm and forced him to turn to me. He tried to look away instantly, but I caught him. I kept my eyes focused and just kept repeating it over and over in my head. Finally, his expression softened and his eyes glazed.
I'm going to leave your room now,
Matt said robotically. Much to my relief, he actually turned and walked out into the hall, closing the door behind him. I'm not sure if he walked any farther than that or how much time I had, so I turned to Finn. You have to leave, I insisted breathlessly, but his expression had changed to one of concern.
Does he do that often?
Finn asked.
Do what? He pushed you. He clearly has an anger problem.
Finn glared at the door Matt had left through.
He's unstable. You shouldn't stay here with them.
Yeah, well, you guys should be more careful who you leave babies with, I muttered and went to the window. I don't know how much time we have, so you need to go.
He probably shouldn't ever be able to come into your room again,
Finn said absently.
I'm serious, Wendy. I don't want to leave you with him.
You don't have much of a choice, I said, exasperated. Matt's not usually like that, and he would never hurt me. He's just had a really hard day, and he blames you for upsetting me, and he's not wrong. The panic was wearing away, and I realized that I had just used persuasion on Matt again. I felt nauseous. I hate doing that to him. It's not fair, and it's not right.